what we're gonna do about the voting scheme. Oh man, make people scream, voting scheme. So that, what we gonna do, what we gonna do, man, we gonna call in vote rescue. What we gonna do, what we gonna do, man, we gonna call in vote rescue. Come, what we gonna do, what we gonna do, man, we gonna call in vote rescue. What we gonna do, what we gonna do, man, we gonna call in vote rescue. They rescue me, man, they rescue you with the vote machine. You know it's not true. You get the vote after that, son. They're gonna steal the damn election. I wanna tell everybody on the land, don't you rather have paper vote in your hand so you could trail your vote after when you come out of the damn computer? What we gonna do? What we gonna do? Man, we gonna call in vote rescue. What we gonna do? What we gonna do? Man, we gonna call in vote rescue.
Jump the carriers to Vote Rescue Radio, where citizens count one vote at a time. And this is your host, Vicki Karp, and I'm here with my co-host, Karen Renick. And, oh, we are so excited about our show tonight. In just a few minutes, we are going to be bringing on Greg Pallas, author, filmmaker, investigative journalist, the bulldog for election reform and exposing election fraud. Long bio. I'll get into more of it in a minute. But we'll be bringing Greg on here in just a few minutes for, probably most of the first half hour. And then we'll be bringing on Chuck Young, who is a wonderful Austin activist, Ron Paul supporter, and one of the co-founders of a local Austin group called Texans for Accountable Government, nonprofit. It's basically a group that is the continuation of the Ron Paul Revolution. They're going to be having a meeting coming up on the 24th and an election of their steering committee. So Chuck will be talking to us about that. It's going to be great. That'll be about 6:40. And then at 7, we're going to bring on Phil Lindsay from Independence, Missouri. And Phil, who is the founder of the election integrity group Show Me the Vote in Missouri, big hand count of paper ballots organization and great supporters of that. Phil was arrested last week in Missouri for his refusal to show a photo ID when he went to vote in the primary, which, by the way, is against the Constitution of the state of Missouri since 2006. Well, there's a lot more to it than that. We'll get to hear the story and also more about what Phil Lindsay has been doing in Show Me the Vote in Missouri to try to bring hand-counted paper ballots back there, and just an amazing effort that they have been going to there. So I've got more about Greg. Do you want to make a few comments before I the bio here?
I'm just looking forward to all three of our guests today. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to say just a few words about Greg, if mm-hmm. I could. Mm-hmm. He's my hero.
Yep, me too. Definitely.
And I just want to let our listeners know, and some of you out there may have been here in Austin. It was two summers ago in June. I think it was Father's Day weekend.
Mm-hmm. It was, yeah.
Greg was on his book tour, and he scheduled a stop in Austin, Texas, and showed up to a standing room only crowd at the Unitarian Universalist Church here in Austin and gave everyone just a wonderful talk and book signing. And it was just fantastic. And that guy, I tell you, he's so generous.
Mm-hmm.
He split the proceeds of what people paid to get in the door, and mm-hmm. I tell you, we've been operating off of that money for quite a while.
He's mentioning that today, how long that money has lasted.
Yes, I know. So, just want to mention that as another facet of this incredible human being that we're going to be talking to in just a few minutes.
Right.
I'm excited.
Me too. And you know, before I get into a little bit more about his bio, which is pretty amazing, I just want to mention the first time I saw him on TV, he was on the he was on the Donahue show, and Donahue was showing a clip of Greg Pallas doing what I would call the Mike Wallace 60 minutes confrontational visit to Clay Roberts in the Secretary of State's office in Florida, Catherine Harris's right-hand man.
Uh-huh.
And Clay Roberts is the guy who, as Greg exposed in his book, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, who he was put in charge of by Catherine Harris, I think, ordering the fake felon purge that that took place in Florida in the prior to the 2000 election, which effectively disenfranchised tens of thousands of Democratic voters across the state by matching them in a very broad and general way with matching several thousands of these voters with the names of felons. And they weren't, in most cases, they weren't really the same people. But when these legitimate voters showed up to vote, and they were told they were, oh, by the way, you're on the felon list and you cannot vote. So that was another way that that election was stolen. And yet when Greg Palast tried to get some of the media here in this country to expose this story and run with it, none of them would do that, which is, I believe, how he became a reporter for the BBC, because he took that story to them and they did run it. And eventually Washington Post did, but I saw him chasing Clay Roberts. He comes in with the documented evidence that Clay Roberts had ordered this, you know, this match, this purging match. And you know, he says, so what about it? You know, Clay Roberts gets up and runs down the hall and locks himself in a bathroom or broom closet or something.
He shuts the door. Well, you know, I just saw it this afternoon because Greg has this great new DVD out, and that's one reason I just barely made it here tonight, because I wanted to try to finish it. But it's called The Election Files, The Theft of 2008. Mm-hmm. And that is the opening scene in this video. And I'm sure Greg will mention this in our interview, but you got to get this DVD. It is really good.
Right.
But that's
makes an impression, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, and I thought, God, you know, because I had been thinking to myself until then, I thought, what happened? You know, why isn't someone doing something? Why isn't someone out there, like the Woodward and Bernstein team, you know, which were my heroes during the Watergate era. I thought, why isn't anyone doing anything about this 2000 election? And I saw him. I thought, he's the man. He's the guy who's doing it. And, you know, shortly after that, they took Donahue off the air. I don't know if it had anything to do with that. But anyway, well, we don't have him up yet, but I'm going to go ahead and read some of his bio, because it's pretty amazing. We can just keep chatting about him and his work until we get him on the air. Greg Palast is the author of two international and New York Times bestsellers based on his reportage for BBC Television's premier current affairs program, Newsnight. Those books would be Armed Madhouse and The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. And his investigative reports for Britain's Guardian newspapers are all around genius. Oh, I'm sorry. I rewrote some of this and it doesn't flow like it should. He has brilliant investigative reports. He does for Britain's Guardian newspapers. He's also a filmmaker, and as I just inserted, all around genius, bulldog, determined investigative journalist. Those are my editorial comments in there. It was Palast who, for the Guardian and the BBC, first uncovered and documented. This is what we were just talking about: the purge of thousands of African American voters, wrongly named felons, by the state of Florida before the 2000 presidential election. His update of the report for Harper's was nominated for an American Magazine Award. A native of L.A., Palast is an economist who studied with Milton Friedman of the University of Chicago. He worked for two decades as an investigator of corporate fraud. PBS TV's Now profiled Palast's BBC investigation of a voter caging scheme operated from the office of presidential advisor Karl Rove, which we'll be talking about here shortly. And the big news is that Greg is currently on assignment to Vanity Fair with law professor Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to investigate the integrity of the 2008 voting process in America. And so here we are about. Here we go. Bring it on. Greg Palast. Greg, are you with us?
I'm with you in electronically and spiritually.
Yeah. Good. Hi, Greg. Great to have you on.
Great to have you on. You, as I had told you earlier today, you're definitely a big hero to both me, Karen, all of Vote Rescue, and I'm sure I speak for thousands and thousands of Americans. So thank you for the hard work you're doing.
Yes, thank you so much. And we're dying to hear what you've got the latest on your plate.
Yeah. You want to get into that right off the bat and tell folks what you and RFK Jr. are up to?
Well, I can't tell you at all because I don't want to give it all away. And, of course, I don't want to tip off the bad guys because not all the investigation is complete. But certainly for BBC Television and for major magazine outlets, we are preparing an investigation of the theft of 2008. Now, many of you know that I busted the story in 2000 about how Catherine Harris knocked off black voters off the voter rolls, calling them felons when their only crime was voting while black. That was the 2000 election. I did the story of Caging Voters by Karl Rove and crew in 2004, which is still right now the center of congressional investigation. I'll explain why. And Bobby Kennedy did a tremendous job in Rolling Stone for explaining exactly how the election of 2004 was stolen. So we're tired of writing about it after the fact. So we're writing about the theft of 08 before it happened. And we're also doing something else, not only writing an article about how they're doing it, but we are also putting together a voter guide, a comic book, actually, called Steal Back Your Vote, and so that you can find out the core of all the little nasty tricks that are being used to shoplift your vote in a style which is both the best investigative journalism you can get your hands on, but it's mixed in with some really good comics. I mean, we got the political cartoonist, freak, funny man Ted Rall doing several color pages. And we also have Lloyd Dangle in there, and some of the people, if you're into the comic book planet, you know, Lucas Kettner, you would know these people. These are really top artists and doing tremendous stuff. And so trying to lay it out so that people can get grasp a hold of it with very specific things you can do to steal back your vote, protect your vote, because we see some really dark stuff happening right now. Not in the future. It's not about how they're going to steal it in November. It's how they've – our view is that they've already stolen.
And how are people going to be able to get a hold of this, Greg?
Okay, the way to get a hold of it, we are – actually, what we've been doing is gathering donations so we can create a website called stealbackyourvote.org. But until we get stealbackyourvote.org, which we have gathered enough donations for, which will go up next in about a week or two, in the meantime, to find out what we have and where we're going and get the updates, go to gregpalast.com. That's GREGPALAST.com. We'll give you updates. Sign up there. It says sign up for the newsletter. We'll send you out a notice about how to download this 16-page graphic voter guide, which will be horrifying and humorous and helpful and, more important, not copyrighted. You can spread it around. And by the way, it's nonpartisan. If, you know, and I mean that. This is not about saving Obama. It's about saving America and saving your vote and saving democracy. And that's very important because I know a lot of people are saying, well, with all this stuff, how come the Democrats aren't jumping on this? Well, they're not a voter protection organization. And in fact, some of the deep evil have been committed by Democrats, or they've gone on and collaborated for various reasons. I mean, let me give you an example. I was in the Laguna and Acoma native pueblos in New Mexico. Now, there's a state that Al Gore won by just 399, maybe it was 299 votes. I mean, next to nothing, sliver. Then George Bush, 4 years later, took the state with only 5,900 votes, and that's with 35,000 votes in dispute. In other words, George only won that because they basically threw provisional ballots in the garbage. We talk about provisional ballots. But now, how did that happen? Well, we went down to find out, why did these votes get thrown away? Went down to the Laguna and Acoma pueblos and found that the 300 Native Americans tried to register and their votes, registrations were just disappeared, vanished. Then they were given, so they went in to vote, names gone, they're given provisional ballots. Now, by the way, if you're a white middle class person, you don't even know what a provisional ballot is, or you have never seen one. If you are listening to this and you are an African American voter, Hispanic voter, you do know. In fact, I was in Palm Springs giving a talk, 150 people. I said, did anyone here vote in the primary? Almost everyone raised their hand. I said, did anyone here get a provisional ballot? There were two African-Americans in the entire audience. They were the two people that raised their hands saying that they were handed provisional ballots. These are ballots that you get when you are challenged in your vote and then you fill out a form, and then they decide later whether to count it or not count it. And the answer is they don't count it. What happened in New Mexico with the Pueblo Indians is that they got their ballots, their provisional ballots, but they weren't given any envelopes, official envelopes, to put their ballots in. So the official that gave them the ballots without the envelopes then threw out their ballots because they said, you didn't put them in the official envelopes, which, of course, they never gave them. That's the game that's played. Now, who did this? Was it Karl Rove's Republicans? No, it was local Democratic officials who did not want the natives voting against a uranium mine that was planned for New Mexico. The problem we have is that it's often Democrats at the local level who are disenfranchising voters that didn't elect them. This is a problem throughout America. So Howard Dean is a big fan of my writing, the chairman of the Democratic Party. My co-writer, Bobby Kennedy, spoke to Mr. Senator Obama, who's very concerned about theft of the vote in the Southwest, but he ain't going to convince those Democratic Party officials at the local level who like the voter list the way they are to open up the voter rolls to the new, the young, the disenfranchised voter, the minority voter, that our democracy needs and that Obama needs to win. So that's why we are doing a nonpartisan, nonpartisan voter guide. Get it at stealbackyourvote.org or at the moment, gregpalace.com.
Okay, we've got a break coming up. We're talking to Greg Palace, filmmaker, author, investigative journalist, all-around genius and hero to those of us who are trying to get back our elections. Stay with us. This is Vote Rescue Radio. We'll be right back.
Online and on demand, this is We the People Radio Network.
New techno toys coming through.
Give us our ballot back.
It's opened up to bad reviews.
Give us our ballot back.
Welcome back, listeners. This is Vote Rescue Radio, where citizens count, one vote at a time. My name is Karen Renick, and I'm here with my co-host,
Vicki Karp.
And we are about to continue with a wonderful interview with Greg Palast. He is an investigative journalist extraordinaire. I want to say gumshoe, but I don't know if that's an insult. But
love it.
Good, okay. Good
yeah, gumshoe. No, that's a good one because... I really am. You know, people say, "Oh, you're like Sam Spade." No, Sam Spade's like me. I'm the real thing. I do it for a living. I have that fedora. If you go to gregpalace.com, one thing you can see is my BBC investigative films. I am, by the way, a mainstream reporter, but it's in the wrong part of the world. That is, I'm in Europe and England and Latin America, and everywhere around the world except the United States, where I kind of bounce off the electronic Berlin Wall. But you can actually watch some of my reports that you'll see on the BBC Nightly News, like the rest of the planet does, and you'll see the guy that in the Sam Spade at doing old-time investigative reporting. That's the point here, just trying to find out what the heck these guys are up to. And it doesn't look very nice right now. That's why I'm concentrating right this minute on the theft of the election of 2008. And my co-investigator, I brought in Bobby Kennedy Jr. because he's a brilliant law professor and voting rights expert. And it's really a poignant story because, after all, his father was killed as the attorney general while he was fighting for the right to vote for African Americans. While Martin Luther King was marching in the streets, it was, after all, Bobby Kennedy Sr. who had to, you know, take the law, you know, basically enforce the law if necessary by National Guard. That's when we invaded to get people to vote, but we were invading Alabama. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not been a long time, but, you know, one of the problems we're running into now is the new Jim Crow laws. They used to stop black people by voting with poll taxes and literacy tests. You know, they would ask you the square root of pi, but they would ask a white guy what's 2 plus 2, right? But now it's new things. It's ID laws. It's something called voter verification. List maintenance. What is list maintenance? Let me give you an example of that. People were shocked when I reported, as part of my investigation with Kennedy, that 1 in 5 voters in Colorado had their names removed from the voter rolls since the last presidential election. 1 in 5, 19.4%. Now, and by the way, I was challenged on this by, for example, the Secretary of State of Colorado himself said, Greg Palast has come up with this number. 1 in 5 voters had their names removed from the voter rolls. How dare he say that? What's his evidence? Well, the evidence actually is from, I often do get all these confidential undercover documents from inside file cabinets. This one was hidden in plain sight. It was inside a long lost table of statistics at the Elections Assistance Commission, whose chairwoman is the former Secretary of State of Colorado. In other words, she was reporting on what she did, this Republican hackette called Danetta Davidson, who is head of the U.S., basically what is now the commission which runs elections throughout the United States. She is the nouvelle Catherine Harris. Mm-hmm. And this time I wanted to bust open the story before the election and not after. So those who want to get this stuff, go to gregpalast.com. In fact, that story came from a little note I wrote called Obama Doesn't Sweat. You know, he plays basketball with his tie on. Mm-hmm. You know, like, isn't that weird? Obama doesn't sweat, but he should. Because I tell him what's going down with the election. And go to gregpalast.com. Then we'll be able to get you over, once we get the site set up, stealbackyourvote.org, where you can download the Steal Back Your Vote voter guide and comment. Mm-hmm. Any questions?
Well, I was just going to comment that I thought that it was very astute that you use the descriptive language vote theft of this purging that you're talking about, massive purging of, in many cases, minority voters.
Yeah.
Vote theft, class war by other means, and that seems very appropriate for what you have found. I was curious, when you discovered that this sort of massive purging, after you blew the lid on it in 2000, I kind of thought that meant, well, okay, that trick has been exposed, they're not going to use it again. But instead, as you were in one of the interviews that I was reading with you, you were just commenting that that the whole nation has now been fluoridated in the same way, and that you're finding this state after state where tens of thousands of voters are being purged illegally. When did you first discover that, and how?
Well, the first thing was is that in 2000, after I discovered the illegal purge of voters of Florida in 2000, by the way, they got sued after my report by the NAACP, Catherine Harris and Jeb Bush, and they apologized. They admitted the purge was wrong, but ha-ha. That was after the inauguration. Then, in 2002, George Bush signed something called the Help America Vote Act. And, you know, as soon as George says he's going to help us vote, I immediately say, I better investigate. And sure enough, deep in those files was a kind of a time bomb for 2006. January 1st, 2006, the 2002 law was not meant to fix the 04 election, but to fix the 08 election. And that's what's interesting, because in 2006, a new part of that law allowed, in fact required, secretaries of state to mass purge voter rolls to remove so-called suspect voters. Now, this is to prevent voter fraud. You know, we had one guy in Arizona, one Republican politician, say that 5 million illegal Democrats have been registered by the Democrats. 5 million. So where are they? In fact, I asked him, where are the 5 million illegal aliens? He said, well, how do I tell you where they are? I said, well, if they're registered, you've got their names and addresses. 5 million are pretty hard to hide. You know, maybe can you give me 5? That's what we're looking at. I've actually, one thing I've done is I've gone to the Republicans and said, all these fraudulent voters, could you give me some names? One thing that Kennedy and I have done is we've gotten some names from these from the Republican Party. These are fraudulent voters. We've hunted them down, and when we produce our report and the Steal Back Your Vote comic, you'll see our story about, in fact, are the Democrats stealing the election? Because that's actually what they're claiming. They are claiming that Democrats are stealing the election. That's why they need these laws. But what's happened is, under the guise of stopping fraudulent voting, and by the way, if you wonder how many fraudulent voters there are, according to Barnard College, Columbia University study, in a four-year period, 24 people were convicted or confessed to voter fraud. 24 people, that's four people, five people a year. We're going to lose 5 million voters to catch five ne'er-do-wells. So a million innocent people are going to lose their vote because to hunt down or prevent one person from voting illegally. That's the game that's being played. And so what we are trying to do now is expose this. And I found such things as, in this list maintenance stuff, in 2004 I discovered a trick called caging. I got confidential emails from Karl Rove's office. Really did.
And can you explain how that happened? Because how you got interesting story. We have a break, but why don't you go till we have the break, and maybe if you could stay with us for another segment.
I'll stay with you a couple more minutes. What happened was is that Karl Rove's assistant, Tim Griffin, not the sharpest knife in the drawer, simply emailed Rove's collaborators missives about knocking off voters, this illegal scheme, and he sent copies to georgewbush.org. Now, georgewbush.com is the Republican site. ORG was as a joke site owned by a friend of mine, John Wooden, and he sent the emails to me. So that's how I got Karl Rove's email.
We've got a break coming up and another segment with Greg Palast on the other side. This is Vote Rescue Radio. Please stay with us.
Are you losing precious sleep on these long, hot summer nights? Are you paying outrageous energy bills trying to stay cool while you're sleeping? If so, have I got great news for you. The bed fan is an amazing device that installs at the foot of your bed and circulates cool air between your sheets. Your average body temperature is over 98 degrees, and your air conditioner simply can't penetrate your blanket where your body heat is being trapped. The bed fan's revolutionary design directs cool air between the sheets where it's really needed. No more tossing and turning to keep you up all night. The bed fan's thin, streamlined design is simple to install and fits between your bed and footboard. And did I mention how much money you're going to save by turning down your air conditioner overnight? Please don't let another sleepless night go by. Get your bed fan by going to bedfan.com or calling area code 210-632-8280. Or you may go to WTPRN.com and click on the banner. Sweet dreams.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Little black boxes in cute little rows. A screen that says touch me so cheerfully glows. No paper trail, a make-believe poll. Cast your vote down the memory hole. Little black box where your little vote goes. Down and down the memory hole.
Vote Rescue Radio with Nikki Carr
and Karen Runnick.
And we are in our final segment with Greg Palast. And we hate to say that because we could go for hours. But if you would elaborate just a bit more about these emails that you got hold of and what they showed. And then we also, before you go, we want you to, if you would, share with the listeners how they can help sponsor your latest project with Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Okay. Well, yeah, after Rove's assistant, Tim Griffin, sent his emails to the wrong website, and they ended up in my inbox, my whole BBC crew just went wild mapping this stuff. And what we got was something called caging lists, which are lists of voters that we finally figured out they intended to challenge, thousands of voters. And who is on the challenge list? It turns out they were sending letters to voters, and if the voters didn't respond to the letter, they say, aha, fraudulent voter, not at the voter registration address. Now, they sent the letters to, and you'll love this from these patriots, they sent letters to airmen and servicemen and women at the Naval Air Station in Jacksonville, Florida. Now, Mr. Rove, tell me, why is it that a military officer or airman wouldn't be at home? And the, you know, in other words, go to Baghdad, lose your vote. They actually challenged the vote of active duty soldiers who were sent overseas by the president. You, by the way, in case you're wondering, you are allowed by law to vote if you're a soldier, even if you're shivering under a Humvee in Fallujah using your home address. But they used this to challenge those voters, knock them off. They also sent the letters to African-American colleges during August when they knew the students would be away on vacation, so they challenged their vote. Again, these are fraudulent voters. No, they're vacationing voters. And they sent, and you'll love this one, they sent to voters when I said, when I first asked the Republican Party, who are these voters that you are collecting these addresses? Why are they caged? And they said, oh, those are our donors. Well, I had a long list of voters registered at the State Street Rescue Mission for the Homeless. They were, and I said, so those are the those are your voters, those are your donors for Bush Cheney. I guess they get to lick the plates at the $500 plate dinner, huh? And they finally changed their minds and admitted these were voters that they were challenging. And they said, because we're going to challenge fraudulent voters. No, you don't lose your vote because you lose your home. You don't lose your vote because you're sent to Iraq. You don't lose your vote because you go to a black college. And this is one of the things that, and what Professor Bobby Kennedy is working with me said, it's illegal. It's a felony crime, actually, to deny a soldier their right to vote or deny, use the mails to do that, or to target people on the basis of race. And that, by the way, is the center of the firing of the U.S. prosecutors. Because one of the prosecutors, David Iglesias, told us that the main reason they were fired is that they refused to bring prosecution against voters for voter fraud that were cases that were completely phony. To cover up this mass attack on voters, they wanted U.S. prosecutors to bust voters. Iglesias said he was given 100 names. And not one of them was a fraudulent voter, and he refused to arrest an innocent. He refused to arrest innocent citizens, which is what Karl Rove wanted. Karl Rove personally had him fired, and now Rove will not answer a subpoena about that. It's not about political influence, the firing of the U.S. prosecutors. It's about rigging the 2008 election. That's what it's about. That's why Rove won't answer the subpoena. I am trying to get Rove to answer my request to appear on camera for BBC television. We'll see. Now, look, I could be all wrong. Kennedy could be all wrong. Let these people come forward on camera. Please explain to us what these caging lists are that are legal. What is it you're doing? And worse, why is it spreading? Spreading. Instead of being, they were caught, you'd think these, that would shame them, that they would never do this again. But once again, the system is spreading. States like Colorado, Arizona, New Mexico, Florida. It is all, Pennsylvania, it's all over in every swing state. The methods that were used in Florida to wipe out voters have now gone nationwide with political cover, with legal cover, with Justice Department cover. And we're trying to blow the whistle on it right now and give you ways to protect your vote. So if you want to help us out, two things you can do. One, we are trying to, because we're putting out this comic book, we're making a film to go with it. We're not asking going to big movie moguls. We don't want big networks to tell us what to show or not show, though we have an opportunity to put on network television. You want to be a producer of a TV show? You don't have to be a big mogul. Just sign up at gregpalace.com and donate to the Palace Investigative Fund. It is a 501c3 charitable, nonpartisan foundation. We're here to tell the truth on them. Participate, and we'll send you some of the films we've been doing, including the Elections Files, my investigations for BBC. You can see Sam Spade in action. Or just sign up to get the information. You don't have to spend a dime. We're happy to have you have the information, and we'll keep you informed of our findings as they appear. So gregpalast.com, GREGPALAST.com, and then stealbackyourvote.org, stealbackyourvote.org.
Well, Greg, I want to thank you because Vote Rescue did make a donation to your efforts, and I have in my hand
certainly did.
A copy of the election files, the theft of 2008, signed to me from Greg Palast. We got two others that were signed by you, so we really feel like we hit the jackpot.
I want you to spread them out. That's the idea, and we're not copywriting, guys. Go ahead and rip them and steal them and send them around. I want the information out. But if you want to help out, give a few bucks, I'll sign them to you because I think that you guys are doing important work. And I'm happy to say that Voter Rescue will be a co-sponsor of the most important document since the Declaration of Independence, the comic book. Steal back your vote. Steal back your vote, comic book.
I can't think of a better way.
Sponsored by Voter Rescue
comic.
and other organizations which give a darn about this democracy.
Well, we sure do.
We certainly do. And, you know, I was about to say that I think a comic book is such a great way to convey information to our ADD society, first of all. And also,
you
got to
laugh, otherwise you cry, right?
That's right. That is right. And also, I think we both, Karen and I both feel this way, just expressing gratitude that you are tackling this up front beforehand, like you were saying, instead of in retrospectively, which is what has been done, you know, election after election, and to be proactive as you are with this information, I think is just so valuable. And there's no telling how many thousands of voters, tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of voters may restore their right to vote because of the information you're going to be putting out.
I hope so. That's the idea. And please, everyone, please check your registration right now. If you think you're registered because you voted last time, ha-ha, that's what they want you to think. Okay, and there'll be plenty of good tips for stealing back your vote. Thank you so much. What a group you have. I mean, I'm really proud and happy to participate and help you out because you're really doing something. You know, someone's got to care, and you've done a great job. Thanks, Vicki and Karen.
Can't thank you enough, Greg.
Thanks,
for being
Greg.
On, and we look forward to continuing to promote what you're doing here and being sponsors of the work and getting the word out for
and
you.
We'd love to get you back here to Austin. We'd love another standing room only crowd. So
if that works in your schedule.
You got me. As soon as this investigation's over, we can go and chill in Austin. Gotcha.
All right.
Sounds good. Thanks
great,
so
Greg.
Much, Greg.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Awesome.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, gosh, we've got that was just amazing. Greg Palast, one of our true heroes. And now we have one of our local heroes, Chuck Young, ready to come on. And we have a break coming up. So I think I'll just talk a little bit about Chuck before with the break, and then we'll bring him on after. Chuck is a Austin area. He has been a local Ron Paul supporter and an organizer, just amazing organizer. He's an IT person. He's done a lot of work for the Ron Paul campaign and expressed an interest when it became clear that Dr. Paul was not going to be the candidate in creating an organization that would put together the brains and the energy of a lot of the Ron Paul supporters from all different walks of life. And that is what he and others here have done here in Austin with the group Texans for Accountable Government. And they are going to be holding a meeting at Schultz's Beer Garden here in Austin on the 24th of August. And we'll be talking about that with Chuck on the other side of the break. Stay with us. This is Vote Rescue Radio.
Welcome back, listeners. This is Vote Rescue Radio. My name is Karen Renick, and I'm here with my co-host,
Vicki Carr.
And we are going to bring, we thought we were going to bring Chuck Young. I guess we'll get him back on the line. Chuck is going to come on and talk about a local group here in Austin called
Texans for Accountable Government, or TAG, as we like to call them.
Yes, and they have a meeting coming up on the 24th, as we said, and actually Vote Rescue is going to participate in that meeting in the sense that we are going to help them hold their elections. And this will be the second time we've helped a group out. We've helped the Public Access TV station, their producers' council, with their elections. And both of those ran very smoothly, and we were very proud to be able to come in as the neutral voting team, I guess you'd call it, or election team. And we brought our big metal ballot box that someone had donated to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've definitely have experience. We've even counted votes on the air, live on TV.
That's right, we have. Okay, good. We've got Chuck up. Chuck, are you with us?
I think I am.
Okay,
am
Chuck? Sorry. I clicked to get you on, and the next thing I knew, you were gone. So I, if I had any part, I'm sorry. But anyway.
That's okay.
So yeah, why don't you explain, if you would, for our listeners, the reason for forming the Texans for Accountable Government and the goals, mission statement, whatever you care to say about it, and talk a little bit about the meeting coming up on August 24th.
Sure. Texans for Accountable Government is a state-level political action committee. It's called the GPAC, a General Political Action Committee. It's also a nonprofit association in the state of Texas. The goals, I guess a lot of us are experiencing the Ron Paul campaign. You know, trying to get a president elected was maybe a little much. So fighting uphill against a lot of different factors. So my own personal take is that what we need to do is we need to get down on the city and county level and mm-hmm. start to really build this thing up over the course of the next decade or so. And a lot of people feel like that's a race against the clock, but there's dimensions to that that I won't even go into right now. But I know we got to pick things that we can win, fights that we can win, stuff mm-hmm. that we can take on, and we need to hold government accountable on a personal level, you know. It's a lot easier to deal with your school board, your city council, than it is to deal, you know, with $2 trillion missing from the Pentagon. And, you know, it's so huge and daunting. And so that's one orientation of it. Another orientation is a lot of us in the poll, at least in Austin, I mean, I can't speak for the rest of the country, we're pretty dissatisfied with getting joined at the hip to the GOP, to the Republican Party. I mean, I don't have a particular problem with the Republican Party. I think the whole two-party system is a real problem. So we want to kind of extract ourselves from that, and so we're nonpartisan, and we're just interested in advancing freedom issues here in Austin and Travis County and Central Texas. And maybe we'll take on some state stuff. We know people all around the state, so that's a possibility.
Is there anything, any of the issues that I know what some of these issues are? Can you talk about them now, or should
people, I can talk about them a little bit. One of the big things that I'd like to stop is there's these domain subsidies, which is a very local, little Austin, not very sexy little local city issue. Austin, like a lot of places, Austin's basically run by five law firms that just do business with the big international corporations. And so some big national developers came in here, and they got a huge tax subsidy, and it hurts local business, and it's bad on about, you know, 10 different scores. So we'd like to beat that, and it's something that we can win. I feel like getting success, you know, for my whole life, I mean, people talk about being awake. I've been awake for almost 30 years now, and just watching stuff get worse and worse and worse, I can't take it anymore. And I think we need to generate a sense that we can accomplish things and we can make a difference. And mm-hmm. so maybe take on stuff that isn't quite so daunting as, like, undoing the Federal Reserve System, which is mm-hmm. a pretty Herculean task. things like, my opinion, my take on the voting thing, I think in Texas, I don't know how we're going to get to really transparent voting systems. I can't draw a straight line there, but I suspect in Texas, and it might be different in other states, Texas, a lot of the power in Texas comes down to the county-level court system, and I'm hoping that at some point, I don't know if we'll be involved in this, but somebody's going to have to, I don't know, bring suit. You guys probably have a much better idea of that than I do, but I don't know. I mean, I'm ready to talk about civil disobedience when it comes to the vote scam, but maybe, I don't know, maybe that's premature, but it's kind of frustrating, you know, that we can't seem to, well, I mean, there's a lot of progress being made. It seems like Secretaries of State are doing a lot of good there, but that's beyond my scope. So we got a meeting coming up on August 24th, Sunday. The meeting proper is from 6 to 8 p.m. We're going to be there. We're asking people to get there a little early because we expect, you know, at least a few hundred people at the meeting. And membership and tag is $10. And for your $10, you can run for steering committee. You can be on the steering committee. And most importantly, you can submit projects to the steering committee, and then the steering committee will allocate, you know, monetary and human resources to various projects, like the domain subsidies or doing some ballot, you know, doing some election poll monitoring would be something we could possibly talk about. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that.
Go ahead. So, yeah, we are looking forward to collaborating with TAG on some actions.
Oh, yeah, and y'all are actually going to count. We're going to have our steering committee election, and you guys are going to count the vote the right way.
We're helping execute that election for you. We're honored you asked us to do so.
Yeah. Well, I think it's I'm not too worried about this election being stolen, but
you can never be too sure. So
you can never be too sure.
There may be people vying for those steering committee positions, and you just don't even know.
I know. It's cutthroat, let me tell you. The group is really like that. but the thing is that it's, you know, I welcome scrutiny. I mean, one thing I want to mention is that you know, I think the whole idea of accountable government, I've also been frustrated sometimes. There's a lot of, you know, there was a kind of nebulous aspect in the Ron Paul campaign in terms of accountability between the national staff, and then there were these kind of vague grassroots movements. And yeah, I saw some things that I wasn't very comfortable with in that, and so I want to create something together here that's a little more formalized and very transparent. You know, I want anybody to be able to come in and look at the books anytime and see what we're doing and have it all be kind of on the up and up, if that makes any sense.
How refreshing. And I just want to comment that I think that the whole focus of staying local and going for, you know, local issues that can be won, I think that's very effective and powerful. Boat Rescue has changed a lot of our focus in the last few months to going local as well. And so, and we, when you can get face to face with somebody that you need to talk to about something, it makes a big difference. And I think that's going to really be helpful in getting your goals accomplished. So I applaud that focus. I really do.
Oh yeah, I think it's the answer. It's ironic. People are in a bit of a panic about the way the world seems to be going and this country seems to be going, but you know, I wonder if we do endure some of the kind of economic hardship that seems to be looming, you know, that might actually provide an opportunity to people on the ground. And I think a lot of us in Austin are very conscious of starting to build something right now that's in place that can help us weather the storm that appears to be brewing. You know, I don't want to intend ill for the future, but you'd have to be blind with the bank failures and the dollar tanking and all the nonsense that goes on in the world. I think, you know, it's time for us all around the country to really look to our neighbors. And you know, there's something kind of remarkable about the Ron Paul campaign in that, you know, everybody was kind of sitting around in their, like, internet, you know, news info zone, and everybody got out of their chair and, like, walked outside and you know, oh, there's this guy, you know, five houses away from me. I didn't even realize. And he's over there, and he feels, and there's this lady down the street. And it was really empowering to realize that, you know, you're not alone. We're not, it's not just, you know, you versus some huge Leviathan, you know, state establishment thing that you're just powerless. It's not that way at all.
Right, and from all political stripes, we're just finishing up with our last minute here. We apologize, but
that's okay.
So we have August 24th, Schultz's Beer Garden at what, San Jacinto and 17th?
Yeah, it's San Jacinto, just south of the University of Texas. Mm-hmm. And we'd like people to get there like around 5 o'clock and start getting mm-hmm. registered. We'll be taking registrations from 4 to 6. It's $10 okay. to join. Even if you don't want to join, just want to come have a beer with other like-minded, freedom-minded people.
Yes, come on,
that's cool too.
And also, just want to acknowledge Nancy Robbins, Paul Davis, and there have been many.
That'll take us 5 minutes just to do that.
Great effort. But I just want to throw their names out because they're, you know, they've done also a very huge part of the organizing. But Chuck, you're doing a great job. Your blog is chuckyoung.org.
My blog actually is chuckyoung.wordpress.com.